would encourage you to get a dictionary and look up them words if you don't know the meaning of those words. He's coming back after a church that's going to be clean and holy and righteous. A church without sin, a guile, a hypocrisy. That's what kind of church he's coming back for. And I'm looking at my life to make sure that I get all the spots and all the wrinkles and all the blemishes. I do it on a daily, consistent basis to make sure I'm walking according to the scripture and not according to my flesh, not according to my will or what I want to do, but according to the will of God. As God's church, we have to be capable, and we are capable, to rule, reign, govern, and to dominate, to control all of the affairs that's on this earth, that's things that are happening right now, and also on all the things that are to come. We are supposed to be able to control what's going on in this world. We don't have to look for the different parts of government for control. We are the church. God has put us in control. We have the power of God. Thank God for the three powers of government, but they don't have the power. We have the power to set them right and set the things right that are going on in this world. We have the power. But somehow we are looking to them for the answer when we are the answer. God's church, the ones that are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in the newness of life. We have the power. God has given it to us. If you don't believe me, you go to the book of Genesis and you read in chapter 1 and you go down to verse 26, 27 and other parts of the book of Genesis, and you'll see who God gave the power to dominate, to rule, to reign, to subdue this earth, to bring it under control, his control. The power of God has got to be in control. Amen. So, as believers of the gospel, we haven't been taught enough about the differences between the natural and the supernatural. And that's what our lesson, the crux of our lesson is today. We're going to be talking about the natural and the supernatural, the natural man and the spirit man. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. And Paul writes, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now this is the bottom line right here. This is what Paul is telling us. He said the natural man, they are not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. The Spirit, if you look at the Spirit of God, you can go in Galatians and you can look at some of the spirits of God and you can look at the spirits of man. God is not going to give his spirit to foolish people that haven't been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't have a relationship with him. They don't follow his commandments. They don't live according to his rules and regulations. God is not going to give them anything of the Spirit. You have to be saved. You have to be sanctified. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost and walking in the newness of life. Not just saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because we know what he told one of the men of the Bible, he told him, he said, you got to shake up. You got to stir up that gift that's been given to you. So the Holy Spirit is just not going, it'll stay there until you start to move it. And when you start to speak in the word of God, the Holy Ghost start moving. My God, the Holy Ghost will begin to move. So God is not going to give his word and his power to the natural man, because the natural man think it's foolishness. You know, they think it's foolishness. And he said, neither can they know them. They're not going to know the things of God. Neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, you need to look up spiritual discernment. It's in the Bible, and you can Google it, and you can find out what it is. You know, you got to have a relationship with God. You got to know God. You got to live according to His will, to His rule, and His regulations. Then you can spiritually discern the things that God would have you to do, not have you to do, the things you should do, should not do, and you'll know how to govern and rule the world by spiritual discernment. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has given us some power, saints. You know, when we're in the natural, we're just like the world. That's what I want to tell you. When we're in the natural, we're just like a natural, natural man with natural abilities, and that's all we have. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is talking about gospel preaching and its divine power and purpose. Again, he's talking about the gospel preaching and its divine power and purpose. You know, preaching has a purpose. It has a purpose. It is to deliver the divine power of God to the people. That's the purpose. And so when we hear preaching that's off the cuff, and they're not saying nothing but a lot of little pretty words, that's not about God at all. That's a man. That's the natural man. So in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he's contrasting the difference between the natural man and the spirit man. And verse 4, he says, "And my preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." And of the power. That's what his preaching was about. And verse 5 said, this is why he preached that way, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what our preaching is supposed to be like today. You know, it's supposed to be with demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, and not from our own wisdom, our own intellect, but with God's wisdom. And we know God's wisdom is from above, because that's where he resides. You know, Paul is saying that his preaching is not of persuasive speech and doctrine of human wisdom, but rather it is under the anointing and power of the Spirit. And it is confirmed with signs following. That's what we should be looking for. That's what the preaching and teaching should be about in the church. And because it's not in the church, there's a lot of people falling away. There's a lot of people that's going to be going to hell because they're not taught enough. You might be hitting it a little bit, but it's got to be ongoing. Jesus was in this world for 3 years preaching and teaching the gospel, and his disciples was with him. And every day he was preaching and teaching. And God knows how many times a day he was preaching and teaching the word and demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that if they could write a book about everything that Jesus did, you know what they said? It would fill the whole earth. There wouldn't be no room for people and nothing else. It would just be the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. Now that's a whole lot of teaching and preaching about the word of God and the demonstration of God's power. And guess what? We might get a Sunday message, a Sunday evening message, Tuesday, a Wednesday, whatever time, Saturday. Some people have church on Saturday, a Saturday message, you know. But that's not what Jesus preached every day for 3 years. And he preached so much, and he delivered people so much, and his disciples also. Until they said if they could put everything that he did in a book, it would take up the whole world. Now, saints, that's some preaching and teaching. Now, can we find some time to do some more preaching and teaching? I think we can. You know? And he said he did not use this method of teaching and preaching, so that our faith would not stand in man's wisdom, but that it would stand in the power of God and not in human wisdom. Saints of God, human wisdom will not send you to heaven. It will not heal the sick. It will not raise the dead. You know, Paul didn't use his intellectual abilities. He didn't use his education. He didn't use his knowledge and ability. He didn't use none of that. You know, he used the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit to preach the Word to the people. That's what he used. Unlike today, you know, he didn't use speech that is strong and designed to excite the listener. You know, he didn't offer some appealing tone or action. He said he didn't use none of these means or none of these methods. You know, like being a great orator, you know, able to speak just fluently and beautifully. And of course he could have, because in his day he was a great orator, you know, but he didn't use this public speaking skills. He didn't use that. And I'm thankful that he didn't use that, because now we have a clear gospel. Almost all of the New Testament was written by Paul, and it's clear and plain. And I thank God for it. And that's what we need to be using today. You know, the church today is much different. Pastors and the preachers, they use their intellect, their education, theology, to garner approval and get their message across to the people. You know, they also use a charismatic tone, and we call it whooping. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't use none of that. The Apostle Paul, who was highly skilled in public speaking, and he was educated by the most learned scholars of that day. You know, he said his preaching was under the anointing. That's what he said. Under the anointing and the power of the Spirit. That's what our preaching and teaching should be about. And what he preached was confirmed with signs and wonders. That's what God wants to do. And that's why it's so important to understand this message. You know, it's not pulling down the church, it's picking up the church. God, I mean, I love whooping. I love to hear him whooping. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. I understand that. And it does something to your spirit. And I like it. But let me tell you something. Without the Word of God, you ain't gonna have no confirmation of the preaching by signs following. We need to know that when we preach and when we teach, that we can lay hand on the sick and that when we lay hand on the sick, they will recover. That when we speak to a dead person, that the breath of life will come back in them. That's what we need to know. And that's how we need to preach and teach the word. Just like Paul and the disciples and Jesus did. You know, this is the outcome that God is expecting. You know, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, chains are broken. My God, the chains are broken off of us. Sickness and disease are healed right then. They're cured. The lame can get up and start walking. You know, the amputees of legs and toes and fingers will grow back immediately. You know, the dead will rise. When we speak the word and we speak life, the dead will get up and start walking. In the name of Jesus. Saints of God, this is what I'm talking about in this lesson. You know, and we're all those missing parts, will be restored. And I want to tell you, the kidneys, the heart,